You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Trying Not to Try. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on Trying Not to Try, Ancient China, Modern Science, and the Power of Spontaneity by Edward Slingerland. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. The goal of this book is to explore the many facets of spontaneity, as well as the conundrum it presents, why it's so crucial to our well-being and yet so elusive. In fact, the problem of how to try not to try is an ancient one, and it has engaged thinkers throughout history and across the world. Some of the most important and influential of them lived in early China. It is my belief that these thinkers, hailing from the so-called Confucian and Taoist schools, had deep insights into the human condition that can still prove very useful to us today. My hope is that by exploring the distilled wisdom of ancient traditions of thought, as well as the best findings from contemporary cognitive science, you will gain new insights that you can apply to your own life. End quote. That is Edward Slingerland from Trying Not to Try. Edward Slingerland is one of the world's leading experts on both ancient Chinese thought and modern cognitive science. This book is a melding of those two realms. It's a truly fascinating read. I read it in a day and felt like I was spending the day hanging out with a brilliant thinker, getting privileged access to 20 years of deep thinking. If you're into ancient wisdom and modern science, I think you'll love the book as much as I did. It's packed with big ideas, and I'm excited to share some of my favorites, so let's jump straight in. Our first big idea is Wu Wei, which is spelled W-U-W-E-I. Wu Wei. Quote, looking at our lives through this early Chinese lens will require learning about two tightly linked concepts. The first is Wu Wei, and the second is Da, which is spelled D-E, pronounced duh. Wu Wei literally translates as no trying or no doing, but it's not at all about dull inaction. In fact, it refers to the dynamic, effortless, and unselfconscious state of mind of a person who is optimally active and effective. People in Wu Wei feel as if they are doing nothing, while at the same time they might be creating a brilliant work of art, smoothly negotiating a complex social situation, or even bringing the entire world into a harmonious order. For a person in Wu Wei, proper and effective conduct follows as automatically as the body gives in to the seductive rhythm of a song. This state of harmony is both complex and holistic, involving, as it does, the integration of the body, the emotions, and the mind. If we have to translate it, Wu Wei is probably best rendered as something like effortless action or spontaneous action. Being in Wu Wei is relaxing and enjoyable, but in a deeply rewarding way that distinguishes it from cruder or more mundane pleasures. In many respects, it resembles the psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's well-known concept of flow, or the idea of being in the zone, but with important and revealing differences that we will explore. End quote. So there are two Chinese concepts we need to understand. Wu Wei, again, W-U-W-E-I, pronounced U, kind of like U, Wei, and Da, spelled D-E, which is one of the coolest words ever, that is, unfortunately, pronounced Da. We'll get to Da in a moment. For now, Wu Wei. Although Wu Wei directly translates as no trying or no doing, it doesn't mean that we don't do anything and or that we just check out of life. It means that we do the right thing without having to even try to do the right thing. With Wu Wei, this right action just naturally arises from who we are. Wu Wei is, quote, the dynamic, effortless, and unselfconscious state of mind of a person who is optimally active and effective. All right, got it. That begs the question, how do we arrive at this optimal state of effortless awesome that doesn't even require trying without trying? We'll get to that paradoxical question in a moment. First, let's take a quick peek at why we want to cultivate our Wu Wei. It's all about the Da, which is our next big idea, charismatic power. Quote, people who are in Wu Wei have Da, typically translated as virtue, power, or charismatic power. Da is radiance that others can detect, and it serves as an outward signal that one is in Wu Wei. Da comes in handy in a variety of ways. For rulers and others involved in political life, Da has a powerful, seemingly magical effect on those around them, allowing them to spread political order in an instantaneous fashion. They don't have to issue threats or offer rewards because people simply want to obey them. On a smaller scale, Da allows a person to engage in one-on-one interactions in a perfectly efficacious way. If you have Da, people like you, trust you, and are relaxed around you. Even wild animals will leave you alone. The payoff provided by Da is one of the reasons that Wu Wei is so desirable, and why early Chinese thinkers spent so much time figuring out how to get it. End quote. So, we cultivate our Wu Wei so we can have our Da. Although we don't have a good equivalent to either word in English or any other language, Da is translated as virtue, power, or charismatic power. Think about that for a moment. Virtue equals power equals charismatic power, the ability to radiate goodness that magnetizes people. That's awesome. The power of Da is why all ancient Chinese philosophers obsessed about how to best acquire it. Slingerland also describes Da as moral charisma. I love that phrase as well. Moral charisma. When we're naturally expressing the purest, best version of ourselves, people respond. They can feel our goodness, and we're evolutionarily programmed to respond positively to this. We talked about some basic, more mechanical ways to dial up our charisma in the charisma myth. Recall the big three of charisma: presence plus power plus warmth. But I just love the idea of moral charisma, the power that comes from the moral rightness of a person. In the Leadership Challenge, Kuzis and Posner tell us that the foundation of leadership, one could say the source of their Da, is credibility. They tell us that the research shows, quote, credibility is the foundation of leadership. Constituents must be able, above all else, to believe in their leaders. For them to willingly follow someone else, they must believe that the leader's word can be trusted, that she is personally passionate and enthusiastic about the work, and that she has the knowledge and skill to lead. The four key attributes people look for in leaders they willingly follow: they are honest, plus forward-looking, plus competent, plus inspiring. Great qualities to work on, such that we radiate Da via our Wu Wei. Next big idea, Wu Wei, four ways to try not to try. Quote, fortunately for us, the early Chinese explored every conceivable strategy for moving a person from a state of alienated trying into perfect Wu Wei. You can carve and polish, subject yourself to rigorous, long-term training designed to eventually instill the right dispositions. You can embrace simplicity, actively reject the pursuit of goals in the hope that the goals will then be obtained by themselves. You can cultivate your sprouts, try to identify the incipient tendencies of desirable behavior within you, and then nurture and expand them until they are strong enough to take over. Or you can just go with the flow. Forget about trying, forget about not trying, and just let the values that you want to embrace pick you up and carry you along. End quote. All right, so Wu Wei leads to Da. But what do we need to do to get to the point where we don't even need to do anything? In short, how do we try not to try? To help us answer this paradoxical question, Slingerland walks us through the four different philosophical approaches presented by four of the leading old-school philosophers of ancient China: Confucius, plus Lao Tzu, plus Mencius, plus Chuang Tzu. Each of those philosophers gets his own chapter. Here's a super quick peek. Confucius tells us we need to try really hard, following rituals and practices rigorously until we get to a place where they're part of who we are and Wu Wei flows. Slingerland calls this try hard not to try, carving and polishing the self. Lao Tzu thought Confucius got it wrong and tells us we need to let everything go, literally move out of town, check out, etc., if we want to find our Wu Wei. Slingerman calls this stop trying, embracing the uncarved block. Then there's Mencius, who basically extends Confucius's perspective and advocates trying, but not trying too hard, telling us we need to basically tend the sprouts of our goodness, but not yank at the roots. Try, but not try too hard. Cultivating moral sprouts is how Slingerman puts this. And finally, there's Chuang Tzu, who softens Lao Tzu's approach and tells us we don't need to drop out of society and return to our primitive roots. We just need to tune into the heavenly, spiritual force and let that flow through us. Slingerman calls this, forget about it, going with the flow. So, which approach is the right approach? Insert Jeopardy music here. Short answer, Slingerman tells us they all have partial truths, but no one approach is perfect for every person in every situation. Little PS here, note, Slingerman tells us, quote, where does this leave us? If the paradox is a real one, arising from basic structural features of human civilized life, it is unsurprising that none of our Chinese thinkers was able to come up with a single, surefire solution to it, and that people in widely separate cultures have struggled with the same tension. Indeed, that's why we call it a paradox. If there were an answer, we'd demote it to a mere problem or puzzle. Paradoxes are not something that you solve, they are something that you learn to live with. End quote. That awesome wisdom reminds me of another book that features ancient Chinese wisdom called The Seventh Sense. I love the way Joshua Cooper Ramo differentiates complex versus complicated challenges. Here's how he puts it. He says, quote, when Holland chose the word complex, he was making an important distinction. Complicated mechanisms can be designed, predicted, and controlled. Jet engines, artificial hearts, and your calculator are complicated in this sense. They may contain billions of interacting parts, but they can be laid out and repeatedly, predictably made and used. They don't change. Complex systems, by contrast, can't be so precisely engineered. They are hard to fully control. Human immunology is complex in this sense. The World Wide Web is complex. A rainforest is complex. It is made up of uncountable buzzing, connecting bugs and birds and trees. Order, to the extent that it exists in the Amazon basin, emerges moment by moment from countless, constant interactions. End quote. Life is complex, not complicated. It's full of paradoxes that we will never completely solve. Learning to live with these paradoxes is an essential aspect of Wu Wei. How are you doing with that? Little PPS here. Check out the book for more, of course, and check out our notes on Confucius's Analects and Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. Notes on Mencius and Chuang Tzu coming soon. Next big idea, spontaneity plus when gifts become a burden. Quote, Chuang Tzu's sages are also distinctive by virtue of the fact that they are not attached to strict values. They live their lives and have their goals, but maintain openness that allows them to change direction when circumstances demand, or to let go of something that has turned from a gift to a burden and move on to something else. Translated into modern terms, they've down-regulated their cold cognition so that their hot cognition can run the show more or less directly, with minimal interference from the conscious mind. The trick, of course, is how to pull this off. End quote. Chuang Tzu's Wu Wei exemplars are not bound by super strict values that make them rigid. They have a flexibility that allows them to act spontaneously to what the situation demands. One of the metaphors Slingerland shares to bring this wisdom home is that of a mirror. Picture a mirror in your mind. Note that a mirror simply reflects whatever is presented in front of it. It's not muddled by past images that once appeared on the mirror. It is always freshly responding to life. One could say that the mirror is spontaneous. This spontaneity is a key aspect of Wu Wei. Like a mirror, we spontaneously respond to what life presents, optimally expressing the best we're capable of without even trying to do so. Practically speaking, these sages have goals, but they also maintain an openness that allows them to change directions when the situation demands. or to let go of something that has turned from a gift to a burden. Let's take a moment to reflect. Is there anything in your life that was once a gift but has become a burden? Something that you continue to pursue with a little too much rigidity and not quite enough spontaneity? What could you do to sprinkle in a little more ooh-way spontaneity? Let's be passionately committed to goals that inspire us and stay flexible plus spontaneous in our joyful ooh-way pursuit. Little PS here, Emerson comes to mind. Brilliant passage from Self-Reliance where he tells us, quote, "A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, adored by little statesmen and philosophers and divines. With consistency, a great soul has simply nothing to do. He may as well concern himself with his shadow on the wall. Speak what you think now in hard words, and tomorrow, speak what tomorrow thinks in hard words again, though it contradict everything you said today. Ah, so you shall be misunderstood. Is it so bad then to be misunderstood? Pythagoras was misunderstood, and Socrates and Jesus, and Luther and Copernicus, and Galileo, and Newton, and every pure and wise spirit that ever took flesh. To be great is to be misunderstood." Gotta be willing to be spontaneous. Let's not be hobgoblins. PPS, we haven't gotten into the cognitive science much. Short story here is, our minds have a fast, or what's called a hot, and slow, or cool, way of interacting with the world. The ooh-way master has learned how to integrate them beautifully, effortlessly knowing when to apply the cool, rational, slow thinking system, and when to let the fast, hot system take over. Check out the book for more, and for now, know that in many ways, it's like the trusting versus training mindset we look at in overachievement, and the overthinking we talked about in choke. We also explore the power of letting it rip in Peak Performance 101. And ultimately, it's connected to the ideas in Habits 101 plus Willpower 101 that we want to use our willpower, or cool system, wisely, such that we automatically, hot system, do what is best for us. Next big idea, connecting to something bigger than ourselves. Quote, "Grasping the fundamentally religious nature of ooh-way is vital, and not just for reasons of historical accuracy. For one thing, the example of mastering a physical skill like ox butchery, while a helpful analogy, becomes misleading if it's disengaged from its original cultural and religious context. The problem is that we can imagine someone being a skilled butcher, pianist, or tennis player, and yet still an atrocious human being. I'm sure you know a person or two like this. What ooh-way represents, on the other hand, is the state of being a perfected part of a greater whole that is also embraced by others. It is this holistic, social, and religious quality of ooh-way that makes it unique." Slingerland continues by saying, "It's now easy to see why ooh-way is about more than isolated individuals incrementally improving their personal bests in the Ironman triathlon or mastering a new level of Tetris. Ooh-way involves giving yourself up to something that, because it is bigger than you, can be shared by others. For those of us who no longer embrace the early Chinese faith in the way and heaven, the precise nature of this larger whole, the framework of values that give shape and meaning to the ooh-way experience, is going to vary from tribe to tribe, even person to person, or moment to moment. By its very nature, though, this framework needs to be something larger than the self. An essential fact about ooh-way is that it's not just about the experience unfolding within the mind of an isolated individual, but also about social connections between people." End quote. One of the important distinctions Slingerland makes in the book is that ooh-way is grounded in a connection to something bigger than the individual. It has a spiritual and social dimension that differentiates it from something like Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's flow, for example. Whereas the science of flow is grounded in a Western, individualistic worldview and therefore emphasizes things like matching your challenges with your skills, ooh-way is rooted in something bigger than the self. As such, it's important to note that ooh-way isn't about setting your new personal best Ironman time or crushing a new level of Tetris. It's about becoming an amazing human being, connected to something bigger than yourself, who makes a beautiful contribution to the world. to use the language of our work together, we optimize not so we can take a narcissistic, check-me-out selfie of our six-pack, but so that we can become a more loving and present human being. Here's a little more on what we're looking for. Swingerlin tells us, it is this difference between skills and virtues that, at the end of the day, is driving the paradox of Wu Wei. Although our Chinese thinkers use stories like that of Butcher Ding or Woodcarver King to illustrate aspects of Wu Wei, as did Aristotle, incidentally, the kind of Wu Wei that they worried about is moral in nature. They want to foster cooperation and virtue, not efficient butchery. So the paradox exists because the kinds of virtues that people care about and value in others center on who you are, not necessarily what you do. They are about stable inner states, not just outward behavior. They are about values, not merely actions, because it's commitment to shared values that allows large-scale societies to function. So it's not enough to perform generous actions. You need to become a generous person. This is an enormously difficult trick to pull off, which is why true Wu Wei is both inherently hard to reach and such a great signal of trustworthiness once we've managed to get there. We're attracted to genuinely Wu Wei people. They have duh, because evolution has shaped us to hone in on signals of sincerity that are difficult to consciously simulate and even harder to experience on demand, and to do so in response to basic challenges inherent to human cooperation. End quote. Ultimately, Wu Wei is all about values and virtue. If we want to shine with the radiant power of moral charisma, we need to live in integrity with our highest ideals in service to the world. Let's do that. That is a quick look at Trying Not to Try. As I said, if you enjoy ancient wisdom and modern science, I think you'll really enjoy this book. Check it out and check out the other notes related to this, including the Analects of Confucius, the Tao Te Ching, Flow, Drive, the Happiness Hypothesis, Choke, the Charisma Myth, Peak, the Rise of Superman, the Road to Character, and Presence, all of which are linked in the note. And now for some great quotes, and we'll wrap it up. These are all from Edward Swingerlin. He tells us, for a person in Wu Wei, the mind is embodied and the body is mindful. The two systems, hot and cold, fast and slow, are completely integrated. The result is an intelligent spontaneity that is perfectly calibrated to the environment. The thinking without thinking strategy certainly has its limits, but it is becoming increasingly clear that any behavior we want to be reliable and fast in real life situations needs to be turned into an embodied habit or tacit skill. True da, true attractiveness, comes out of sincere absorption into a larger, valued good, not calculated clothing choices or pickup lines. What you choose to embrace doesn't matter as long as it's something that you're doing genuinely, not for strategic reasons. Complete relaxation and freedom from external concerns perfect your da and make you formidable, conveying a confidence and ease that makes others think twice before messing with you. The conscious mind has limited capacity, and often the best thing to do when you run into difficulty is shut it down for a while and let the body take over. The idea here is that if you are to successfully enter Wu Wei, your focus should be on the world, not yourself. You have to forget everything, your ego, even your own body, so that you can be absorbed into the larger movement of heaven's way. And finally, if we can manage to not push too hard when trying is bad, and not think too much when reflection is enemy, the flow of life is always there, eager to pull us along in its wake. There you go, Trying Not to Try. I hope you enjoyed, and I look forward to sharing more. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.